Now, Whitey and Jay Today Drapes will be back with us tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be coming to you from the Golden One because the Kings, after falling yesterday, they get a day off to practice and lick their wounds, and then their reward is the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow, followed by the Lakers the next day. So, Jay and I, with your help, we've been trying to figure out where this all is. I think, Jay, we're to a point, at least you and I are, where we're not as anxious about the ups and the downs. We're more accepting of the ups and the downs, and we're trying to just enjoy the fact that we've got meaningful basketball from here the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll take that. I'll follow in your footsteps when it comes to how you're describing our feeling.
Okay, and I'm following your lead emotionally here on this, but we have Ryan Williams Art on the chat. Says, Whitey, if we don't worry about any games, then what are we? Hawks fans? The roller coaster is part of the fun. I don't want to ride the carousel. And Compio says, carousel's boring. I'm not saying don't worry about the games. I'm just saying getting all anxious about what's already happened. You know, Like, oh, yesterday, what happened yesterday? Say, yeah, you know, that's this team. And now we got a game tomorrow against the freaking Bucks. So trying to look forward to that. I just feel like this team, Jay has said this a million times. Are they up? Are they down? Yes. Is this team up? Which team is it? The team that plays so well in Minnesota or the team that plays? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's both.
Who they are.
This team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of that too, Whitey, is it, when you say accepting of, you know, our fate, we're not going into each game. It's like, oh, ho-hum. Like, we're not doing that.
Right. No.
Let's make sure that that's clear. Yeah. And you just said that. Like, no, that's not what we're saying. We're also saying, listen, when they're up, we understand it. When they're down, we understand it. We have a better understanding, a better grasp on this team. And as you said, I don't need to throw a hissy fit when they lose, and I don't need to celebrate like they won a championship when they win, mm-hmm. you know, unlike a lot of fans. And I'm not telling anybody out of fan, please do you, be you, act like you, say what you want to say, drink what you want to drink. You know, I mean, look, I can make a full song out of it. But the fact of the matter is I'm just not going to hit the roof when they get a win against the San Antonio Spurs, when the Spurs kind of almost gave them the win. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit around here and fret when they lose, you know, to the Houston Rockets, which already beat them twice. So, mm-hmm. you know, listen, I take it as it comes. I'm living in the moment day by day. I'm going to celebrate
very
the wins.
Zen.
Yeah.
Very zen.
You know?
I tell you what, when they
call me Phil Jackson, baby.
You wouldn't like that, would you? I don't think you'd like
that. No.
When they suffer a troubling loss like yesterday, I'm not going to, you know, plead to the heavens, oh, basketball gods, why have you forsaken us? No, it's like, this team has some challenges.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of just being a little more realistic about it at the same time.
Right up.
Still hoping against hope that they find a way to win tomorrow and the next night and on and on. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC, I'm sure he has some words of wisdom for us. It's time for Check It with
Check
TC.
It.
What's up, TC?
Hey. Check it out, man. Check it out. Whitey J, what's going on, man? Thank you.
What do you got for us today? What did you think of yesterday?
Man, so look, check it out. What I got for yesterday is, I don't know, man. I'm just, but like I said when I called before, you just got to accept what's going on, and we just, once we get in the playoffs, I think everything will go on. But I like what Malik did yesterday. What I think yesterday is, what happened was, is, I don't know, everybody's not locked in for some reason. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, Jay was just putting some music.
Yeah,
on
we got to check it with you, brother. Come on. We got to have some tools behind you, baby.
Let's go. Thank you, Jay. Okay. Now, check it out. So, look, Whitey and Jay, so yesterday was everybody lost focus. And I like how Monk was, you know, he got at the team and said, you know what, look, everybody got to listen. Everybody got to turn around. This losing is unacceptable. And at first I was always thinking it was on Mike, but it's on the players, man. To dial in. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the Herder situation is throwing people off about how Mike handled that. I can't get a grasp of what's happening with the team other than they just got to lock in. Jay, Whitey, it's over Mike Brown. I was thinking it was Mike, but it's past Mike Brown, bro. It's these players. And these players, like you always say, Jay, it's on the players and you with the players. Why it's the players, man. Mm-hmm. These dudes got to lock in. You got half the team, like Lyles, Monk. You got people that's locked in. Then you got to question people like Fox. Are you locked in, bro? Like, are you going through something? Like, we should even be questioning about him. I don't want to single him out, But it's like him. You get what I'm saying? It's a lot of the team. But, like, well, Fox, I feel like me personally as a fan, bro, we shouldn't have to question you about nothing. We shouldn't have to question your effort. We shouldn't have to question, like, if you down or not. Like, I don't want to put this on him. But, bro, like, it comes up like that. And I don't know, man. I just, everybody as a Kings fan, just accept it. Be happy that our team is balling. We're in the playoff race, and I truly believe that we will win the first round series this season. At the end of the day, no matter how frustrated I get with this team, bro, I love these dudes, bro. And I promise you, we're going to ball out in the playoffs. We just got to tighten it up. That's all I got.
TC! Nice. Yeah. I tell you what. I look at this roster, and to me, this roster is kind of a thin roster in a lot of ways, and I think that puts pressure on everybody. And it doesn't matter how it got that way. Maybe Monty could have made some moves. Maybe he knows that there's nothing I could do to upgrade. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying Mike Brown, his coaches, his players, they all know right now. They look around. They saw what happened yesterday, and they know that while they got to say, we just have to be more consistent, you know, we got to play better defense. That's what they say. But they know that, wow, we got some challenges right now with a roster that doesn't have a lot of guys who are able to get it done defensively. So it's going to be a challenge for Malik and everybody to hold this thing together. They're capable of doing it, but there are going to be some games where things start to splinter a little bit because they're in a tough situation. That's honestly the way I see it, Jay.
There's going to be some 6-for-32 from the three-point line games. There's going to be some times where...
And it's going to be tempting to, well, it's him, it wasn't me, and somebody's going to have to make sure that we don't have any of that.
They've done a great job so far.
I think so.
I think they, kudos to Coach Brown and the coaching staff. They've done a great, great job of bringing this team up to this point of... You really haven't heard anything. You haven't heard any grumblings. You haven't heard any discontent, malcontent from any of the players. You know, every single time they come out, every single time they're in the public's eye, every single time they're a shoot around press conferences, all you do is hear, you know, listen, we have to do a better job. Mm-hmm. We need to do a better job. You know, we understand what's needed. We understand what's, expected from us. And so I think that's a great point, Whitey. I think you're spot on with that. And I think, you know, it just kind of goes to show that they are a team down there. No matter if it's a flawed team, they are a team.
We'll take a quick timeout. When we come right back, how Domas is on the precipice of franchise history. Next with the Drive Guys on Red Vines. Here's the dang deal with the Kings. We talked to Jay Triano earlier today, outstanding assistant coach of the Kings. Among other things, we were asking Jay Triano about how the Kings are shooting fewer threes. Kyle Draper and Jay, we mentioned that on Friday. You know, the Kings for the year shooting about 40 threes a game. But that number has come down, that number has come down over the last 11 games. They've been taking about 33 a game. So we asked Jay Triano, is that because of matchups? Is it circumstances? Is there a concerted effort to rely less on the three? And he told us, he said, we want to take more threes. He said, you're right. We have been shooting fewer. We got to take more. He said, our goal is to take 40 threes a game. So whether you like it or not, let's just be clear about that. We've been talking about that a lot the last week or so. The Kings' goal, according to the coaching staff, they want to take 40 threes a game. And Coach Triano said one of the reasons they've taken fewer the last couple of games, he said Houston and San Antonio are actually very good at keeping you off the three-point line. They're not very good teams overall. You look at their records, but he said they do a good job of running teams off the three-point line. So I think that's one of the keys for the Kings going forward. And I'm sure you do too if you watch the games. It's kind of obvious. They got to make their threes. Yesterday, what was it?
6-of-32, brother.
Come on. Right? That's just like, ah.
And they didn't give up. They didn't get up to 40 they want.
No.
Yeah.
32 yesterday. 6-for-32, yeah. And then, of course, the Rockets only took 29, but they made 12 of them. So that's one area in which the Kings – consistently have to be better than the other team if they're going to have a chance to win. And they can't turn the ball over so much. They're going to have to be close to perfect in a number of areas the rest of the way. And if they are, I agree with TC. They could still win a first-round series. It doesn't appear likely right now after yesterday, but I think just about everything is on the board. They're probably not going to win a championship, and they're probably not going to miss the play-in. Other than that, I think everything's in play.
Yeah. Take your pick. Pin the tail on the donkey, Whitey.
Yeah.
Now, I'm with you.
Uh-huh. As far as Domas goes, it's kind of interesting that Domas is about as consistent as I ever remember an NBA player being. Every game, you know, double-double, what, 46 straight games. But every game he gives you about the same. And yet, even when one of your very best players is that consistent, the team is still so up and down. But here's the thing on Domas. 46 straight double-doubles, as we said yesterday. That ties the franchise record for double-doubles. And he shares that record now, franchise record, with a guy who in 1967-68 also put up 46 straight triple-doubles.
Is this the person you've been politicking for?
Yes, yes. Jerry Lucas. The great Jerry Lucas, who also, as Bill Herender reminded me on Twitter, once memorized the entire New York City phone book.
What?
Yeah. He used to go on Johnny Carson, and I don't know how you do that, but he would memorize the phone book, and Johnny Carson would go, okay, how about this guy out in Queens here, Don Nelson. And Jerry Lewis is like, oh, yeah. And he would know his number.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I did not know that.
I could probably find that on
YouTube.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to find that.
Yeah. And so how is this guy? He's on the 75th anniversary team.
Yeah, he's with the Cincinnati Royals. Yeah, I don't care about the basketball stuff.
He was on the Knicks and he was on the Warriors. How has no one retired his jersey? Why can't we fix that here in Sacramento and retire Jerry Lucas's jersey? As great as Domas is trying to break a record that Jerry Lucas set, a franchise record. Jerry Lucas, one of the 75 greatest players of all time, and no team has retired his jersey, and we can fix that. The perfect night would be this Saturday because the Knicks are in town and he won a title with the Knicks, but it's probably too late now. Nobody cares, I know, but I'm telling you, this should be done, Jay.
You've been up this tree a few times.
I know,
here.
And I go up there and people are like, we don't care.
Yeah.
So
you might have to start throwing a couple of little acorns of apples at some folks from up there.
This is it. I mean, if we're not going to do it around here now when Domas is breaking these records set by, who is this? Jerry Lucas, who's that? Then it's probably never going to happen.
I'll say this. If no NBA team wants to retire Jerry Lucas's number, AT&T, who took over for Pac Bell, and Pac Bell took him for Ma Bell and everything, they should.
because of the phone book situation.
Uh-huh. Listen, I'm guilty of this too. I can barely remember five people's number now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
And he remembered a phone book?
Yes. I know that sounds literally unbelievable.
In New York City of all places.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find you the evidence of that. He was one of those experts on those, what are they called, mnemonic devices. There's all kinds of little tricks you can use to remember things, and he was an expert at it.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but be that as it may.
Yeah.
Here I am up that tree again, and people are going, what are you doing up there? Yeah. I think his jersey should be retired someday. His number, by the way, is the same as Paige's, I know, but that's okay. Yeah. You just put his jersey up there with a 16, the same number, but hey, Jerry Lucas. Yeah. Somebody needs to do this, Jay.
Why don't you think it's happened?
Because he was...
He's a top 75 guy.
Yeah, but he was always like, even here, he was like, well, yeah, but he's no Oscar Robertson.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
well,
okay, fair enough. Yep. He went to the Knicks. He's like, yeah, but he's no Willis Reed or Walt Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the Warriors briefly. He's like, yeah, but he's no Rick Barry.
Got you.
So that's probably why. And he
And he kind of played in the era where most people didn't jump teams.
Yeah.
So to say, you know, I mean, they did, but they didn't. You know, it was very few. Wilt Chamberlains, you know, played for 2, 3, 4 different organizations. Mm-hmm. You didn't see... You know, most people, 4 years college, get drafted. They might jump, you know, one time, you know, switch teams once. But no, and there weren't that many teams, of course, back in the NBA
at the
time because you had the ABA and that type of situation. But I get it.
Can I come out of the tree now?
No. Stay up there. We'll call the fire department. We'll call the fire department for you. Put up a ladder, a bucket.
Domas yesterday, however, as great as he was yesterday, he had 9 turnovers. Mm. That you just can't. It's like when Domas has a great game, and afterwards Mike Brown says, that's what he has to do. It's not like, oh, he's great. He's like, yeah, that's what he has to do. Other side of that coin is 9 turnovers, you just can't. On this team, Domas, who has such a high usage rate, You can't. This team can't afford to make that many mistakes, especially their best player. As you said, he knows it. I know it.
Yeah.
I know that he knows it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's another one of the things that I think I'm learning about this team. To give them their best chance to win, they've really got to cut down the mistakes because the margin for error is so slim.
Yeah, they have to play well night in, night out, right?
Right, right.
Less, as you said, less mistakes, less turnovers, less misses, you know.
Got to make your threes.
Yeah, and I think that's why the free throw shooting up until the last three or four games where they've been almost lights out.
They have.
Where it was under the microscope because it was one of those things where –
Leaving
Black
money
and white
in the street, Jay.
Yes, very true. Very true. Very true. You could, but the one thing about it is like, yeah, you know, there's analytics that show defense, but in reality, you can't quantify defense black and white, right? Free throws, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, it was something you could point to saying, well, look, they're not winning certain games because in these games, they've missed 8 free throws. They've missed 10 free throws. They've went, you know, 57% as a team. They've shot 62%, where we know 9 times out of 10, that's not going to get it done. And so I think that's when you're pointing to certain things with this team, we're trying to quantify why they're having certain losses and vice versa. When we look at the wins, you're trying to pinpoint certain things like, yes, they won because of this. They won because of that.
They are going to face in many instances an athletic disadvantage.
Oh, for sure.
So you how are you going to compensate for that? You just got to be on point to give you your best chance. And then, you know, on those nights when the ball's going in, that goes a long ways towards neutralizing that disadvantage. Optimist of the day nominee, Jay, I would say Curtis Hicks here on the chat. He says, I think the Kings will win tomorrow. The Kings have lost 15 straight to the Bucks, so they're due. So that's a great,
okay, I like
that's
the
a great way to look at it.
Have glass full guy. You know, this is something going back to one of the conversations that we had. If you could be a general manager and or a head coach in any sport, what is an organization you would not? You would turn it down right now. And someone said James Dolan, which lets me know
that
would be the Knicks,
answer.
MSG.
Yeah. Great answer.
Does that count? Like, you know, the Forum is owned by MSG. The Sphere is owned by MSG, right, in Las Vegas. Are you not going to even operate operationals manager of the Sphere?
That's a great point, but it looks like Tibbs and who's the GM there now? They've actually done a pretty good job. They're coming to town.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Scott.
They're coming to town this weekend. But that's the type of guy that I would say, yeah, I couldn't work for him. Yeah. It's Drive Guys here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jay says the team he would not accept a job with is the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, Scott Perry is what I was thinking.
Thank you.
Was here for the Kings.
That's right.
Scott Perry, GM.
Here.
Yeah, Scott, I just didn't want to mess up the last name.
Fact, if memory serves, Scott Perry is the guy who, when he went to New York, you know, they were going to draft Porzingis? They had Porzingis. Yeah, they had Porzingis, and they knew that the Kings might take Luka. And if I remember correctly, Scott Perry says, hey, you give us Fox, we'll give you Porzingis. The Kings could have had, if that's true, they could have had Luka and Porzingis. And they said they passed. They
would, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, where would Luka and Porzingis have you right now? Porzingis jumped around a few places, of course, going to Dallas. And
they played together in Dallas a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And they were great offense, but they
– Porzingis just can't stay healthy.
Right,
now, he's doing a better job as of late, but for those years there are a few – you know, a lot of times where he just wasn't available.
Mm-hmm. I do think that that's one of the great things about last year for the Kings. It put, to a large degree, the whole shadow of, wow, they could have had Luka. And it was like, it's okay, doesn't matter. True, but doesn't matter because of the year Fox had.
Yeah, that's a great
point. Do you agree
with
that?
Yeah, I think so. When I stop and look at it, I think you're always going to have some, oh, man, look what Luka's doing. And another part about it, too, is Luka's a phenomenon when it comes to national media. You know, everybody seems to love Luka, and they're all on board with Luka. And I think if there's anything the Kings fans may yearn is the fact that he would bring a lot more eyes to what's going on in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we would know we would have a bona fide all-star. We would know we would have a bona fide, you know, he's going to be in the crux of national media every single day. If something goes wrong, if something doesn't, like, you're always going to be talking about the Kings because we hear Luka's name, you know, quite a bit throughout the NBA circles.
My guess is that if he were here, the Kings would have to spend an awful lot of energy on just making sure, are you happy? You're not going to leave, are you? Okay, what do you need us to do? And sometimes that puts you at cross purposes with trying to win, you know?
But isn't that, can't you say that for a lot of stars? Not all the stars, but a lot of stars.
I think so, but especially, I think it's especially problematic for the small market teams.
Very true.
You know, it's like, because you almost can't do both. You're going to make them happy or you're going to try to win? Bigger market teams, maybe you have the wherewithal to pull it off, but for small market teams, it's almost like one or the other.
And we've already kind of heard that about the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama, according to Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how true it is or what her source is. We'll have to get Ramona on. But she's already kind of thrown that out there. Like, look, San Antonio better step it up. And I mean, quick.
Yeah, we talked to some of the Spurs people about that last week. They didn't like that, but we don't know what's true.
Of course not. If someone said that about De'Aaron, we would say the same thing, right?
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's not true. Not saying with De'Aaron, but I'm just saying if it was to happen.
Now he's got breaking news. Come on now. He's got the scoop over there.
No scoop. No Baskin Robbins over here, baby.
When we come back, we'll take a peek at how the Kings' top Western rivals are doing right now, tonight, next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. It's Whitey and Jay today. Jay, I have a name for you. And in fact, you, if you have any legal needs or you need any representation, you might want to write this name down as well. Jay was asking about this guy earlier. Mike McCartney. That's the name you want to write down. Okay. The Atlanta Falcons moved to complement their array of offensive weapons with a proven starting quarterback by agreeing to a 4-year deal with Kirk Cousins Monday. Cousins agent Mike McCartney confirmed the move on social media on Monday.
Yeah.
That's the guy. This is the cat that arranged for, he secured a deal for Kirk Cousins worth $45 million per year. $180 million deal.
$180
Yeah.
4-year deal.
So you think this guy's pretty much the greatest agent ever, huh?
Easy. I mean, Scott Boras, and I understand, you know, all the great agents that we've heard. No, not even close. This dude is a master, a whiz of getting teams to buy in on his, you know, his players, on his representatives. There's no way you shouldn't hire this guy if you're looking for representation in the NFL. He would be my agent. Yeah. I mean, Whitey, as soon as I hit my freshman year in college, I'm already sending friends and family. Go holler at Double M. Yeah. I need Big M to represent me.
They should do a remake of Jerry Maguire and call up Mike McCartney. Right?
I mean, this dude is going to get Kirk Cousins upward of $400 million, not on contract. We're talking about guaranteed money that's being paid to him.
A guy who's, you know, there have always been critics of Kirk Cousins. Plus, he's going to be 36 in August. Plus, he tore an Achilles tendon in his last game. That's all right. Mike McCartney will take care of you.
What has Kirk Cousins ever done to impress you?
He does put up a lot of impressive passing numbers. Okay. There's no question about that.
So you're turning into an analytical guy on me all of a sudden.
You ask me what has he done that's impressive.
Very true.
I think that's about it.
So because he throws for 4,500 yards a season but goes 9-8 and, you know, sometimes makes the playoffs, sometimes doesn't.
No, I know. Wait, don't forget, Atlanta would be 9-8. That's great.
They were pretty close to that this year, though. They were on pace.
7-10, three years in a row.
They were on pace.
Yeah.
And Desmond Ridder just couldn't get it done, as we've seen. And, you know, I get it. A play here, a play there. I don't really remember Atlanta's season off the top of my mind. But I know they were on pace. They were in the thick of things when it came to the NFC South. And that's not saying much. But you see Baker Mayfield, he got 3-for-110, or 3-for-100, excuse me, 33.3.33333, you know, however you want to math that out. But the fact that Kirk Cousins is getting all this money, like, he's been the guy who's been paid like a superstar. He has absolutely been paid as a superstar. And I understand the next man up in the quarterback situation. You know, when it's your turn, you get paid. But we've also seen there are slots. Like, He gets paid like he's a multiple Super Bowl winner.
Just be grateful, Mr. 49er fan, that Brock Purdy fell in Kyle Shanahan's lap.
I am.
Or else we'd be talking today about the 49ers have signed Kirk Cousins.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't do that.
Are you really?
They wouldn't do that. Kyle they had every opportunity to do it, and it didn't happen before.
I think they wanted to before, but then it just didn't work out.
Somebody with intelligence told them no. And Mike McCartney couldn't finesse his way into the 49ers organization for them to pay that type of money. And Jed York and family, and that's cool. Look, one thing I'm glad, get your money, Kirk Cousins. By all means, get every single penny, coin, dollar that you possibly, Bitcoin, you know, stock, whatever you got your money in, get it. Glad for you. I'm just saying, I don't really care about what Kirk Cousins did. I'm talking about what Mike McCartney has done.
Mike
McCartney. Who is the representation for Kirk Cousins.
Mike McCartney goes in there to Arthur Blank check. Yeah. And he says, look, Arthur, you guys, what, 7-10?
Yeah.
3 years in a row? That's right, Michael. I guarantee you, I can get you to 8-9 3 years in a row.
Or 9-8.
No, not maybe 9-8, but probably 8-9. Sign us up. Where do we sign? How much money? Michael, you fill in the amount. We're good with it. I don't know. I hope it works for him.
Come on, man. Seriously, though. You can't tell me this dude's not good at his job.
Kirk Cousins?
No, I'm not talking. Again, Kirk Cousins get all the dollars you can get. I'm talking about Mike McCartney, his representation, his agent, and the agency.
Yeah, I got to find out what else he's done, who else he's represented. That I'm with you. That's pretty remarkable. Just taking a look here at the Western Conference, how things are going this evening. As you probably know, the Kings right now are seventh. They're half a game behind the Phoenix Suns in the West, and the Mavs are just half a game behind the Kings. So let's see what's going on in the West tonight. Real quick here, we've got halftime. The Suns are playing the Cavs, and the Cavs are leading the Suns at halftime 70-63. Devin Booker's back. He's got 15 for the Suns. So it's 70-63 Cavs at halftime. The Warriors are trailing the Kings, of course. They are trailing the Spurs early second. It's 39-29 Spurs. The Kings, of course, the Warriors, of course, without Steph Curry. And the Mavericks are in Chicago right now. Oh, the Bulls. They came in here. They knocked around the Kings. Then they went and they won at Utah. Then they went to San Francisco and beat the Warriors there. They come back home and early second quarter, Mavs 44, Bulls 16. That ain't good. Dallas 44, Bulls 16. There's a long ways to go in that one.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be coming back like they did against the Kings, though. I mean,
your boy Luka, 15-6-6.
My boy.
Early.
Yeah, my guy Luka.
Yeah. I don't. I think he'd be hard to play with, and I was delighted, you know, because what do I know? But then Chandler Parsons, who used to play in the league, came out and he says, that guy'd be hard to play with. It's like, thank you. But he is magnificent. So, yeah, the Mavericks are leading. It's early, but they've got a 24-point lead, and the Suns are trailing by 7 at halftime. The Warriors are losing by 8 at San Antonio. So we'll see you at this point with the Kings. It's almost like, you know what? As Jay Triano said, you can watch the score, but you just got to win. You just got to almost forget what everybody else is doing and win some of these games.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. I mean, you can only control your own destiny to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not tennis. It's not boxing. You know, these aren't there's a team around you. And so there's things that you can't do, you know, as a individual for the Sacramento Kings. But as a whole, they definitely control their own narrative. And be very interesting to see, you know, how they approach these last 19 games, Whitey, and the fact of, like, they have the Lakers coming up, mm-hmm. which they just played last week. Mm-hmm. They normally control the Lakers pretty well over the last couple of years since Mike Brown's been here. And I think those are the type of games when you know, now we're talking about, and I believe we got the Pelicans one more time, right?
Correct. That's correct.
We have Pelicans one more time.
And you're only 0-4 against them.
Yeah. Well, only. Warriors one more. No, Warriors are done. Mm-hmm. Suns, the second before last mm-hmm. game, right? Mm-hmm. April the 12th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a couple games in Dallas twice, back-to-back March 26th and I believe 24th or whatever that is. those are the games that you absolutely need to win now. And I asked Coach Triano, you know, we asked Coach Triano about do they look around? You know, are they aware that they're in a dogfight in the Western Conference? And he said, no doubt. Absolutely. I started after All-Star break. I'm scouting and doing my research around teams that, you know, that are around us in the standings. And so you can believe he was like, well, look, we've even put it up in film study. Mm-hmm. Like, we need this game. We need to go get this win. And so I'm happy to hear that. And I'm happy to hear that they, you know, instead of coach speak, like, oh, no, we just take each game one by one. We know that, Coach. We get that. And so I felt that Coach Triano, that was very refreshing to hear him say, because most coaches don't admit that.
Yeah, he did us the service of being really upfront with us. He actually answered our questions, which is greatly appreciated.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing with the Kings. To me, if they finish six or better, that's a phenomenal achievement in and of itself, really.
Right now.
They can do that. They can do it. But if they do it, I think that's a phenomenal achievement.
Right now, and you've been saying, Whitey, this is a playing team. Right now, where are they at today?
In the standings, or where do I think
they'll be? Where do you think they're going to be?
I still think they're probably a playing team.
Okay. And I asked you earlier in the show, do you think the Pelicans,
I think
that they're running away with five, but they're not. They're only two games in front of Phoenix, but it seems like they have a bigger lead. Do you think they're locked into the five and the Kings can't catch them?
I do. I don't think the Kings can catch them, and I even give the Pelicans an outside chance of moving up as well as they're playing. And then, you know, the Clippers and the Timberwolves have had some issues. But yeah, the Suns have a tough schedule. The Kings very well could finish six. If they do, I think that would be like, man, that's tremendous. If they get out, if they're in the play-in and they get out of it, they get into the playoffs, that's a huge accomplishment too.
What's looking at the last 19, and I know there, you know, every game, here I go talking about every game doesn't matter. But
all right, Coach Jay.
Yeah, I know. What do you think is the pivotal game so far right now? Or is it a pivotal two-game stretch you see on the last 19?
I think, like you said, those two Dallas games probably are going to be
Those are the ones right now so far?
Yeah. I mean, that could decide at the very least, it could decide like home court in the play-in.
Yes. It's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. I mean, they're right there. Half game separates them.
And you just want to, if you're going to be in the play-in, which you don't want, you just want to be 7 or 8.
I don't want to speak this into fruition, but what would happen if they lost both those games to Dallas? What would happen to Sacramento?
Whew. You know, it would depend on how it happens and all that. But
heartbreakers.
Yeah. It would
compared
be all
to
right,
blowouts.
We'll get them next time. We'll get them in the plane and we'll bring them down. I don't know.
What if they win both?
Well, they're going to win both.
Okay. I like where you're going.
Yeah. That's that. Now you're talking.
I like
they're
where you're going.
They're going to win both.
But still be a playing team.
Yeah. Probably. They'll be the 7. They'll play Dallas again in the play-in. They'll beat them and then they'll be on to the playoffs.
Then you'll be looking at Denver or Minnesota.
Minnesota, I don't know about Minnesota. Well, is Cat coming back? I don't know. Denver's going to end up 1, I think.
Think so?
Yeah.
Would you rather play Denver? For me, I'd take Minnesota, but would you rather play Denver or OKC?
I think I'd rather play OKC. And that was my prediction before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
Kings and OKC in the first round, but I thought it'd be like a 5 and a 4. We'll see. Anything's possible.
Doesn't matter the numbers. Yeah. As long as they play, you're still right.
That's right. That's right. If the Kings are in the playoffs, and I've been saying this all along, it's a good season.
Yes.
And they still have a chance to do better than just make the playoffs. Right?
They do.
A couple tough games coming up, but it's fun. Challenges make you better, right? Ooh, it's going to be quite a week. When we come right back here with the Drive Guys, wrapping things up and taking a look at whether the Kings have, you know, like an old box of crackers, has this roster gotten a little bit stale? Next to the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Wow, what a busy day. It's been a lot of NFL news. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the NFL, I said something about, I don't like the Bears' idea for a new domed stadium. I mean, that's great that they're going to, you know, they're going to stay in Chicago. We figured they would. But I don't like the idea, Jay, of a domed stadium in Chicago. And I get it. It's going to happen. And it should happen. And they can make more money. But, you know, somebody who just remembers, you know, watching football in the NFC Central. You know, Detroit now, they've bad weather city, but they got a dome. Okay. Minnesota, you know, used to play in a frozen tundra. They got a dome. And now you'll have a dome in Chicago, most likely. It's just too bad. What's next? The Lambeau Dome? You know, I understand it's not ideal, especially when you just had
the frostbite situation in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's something about watching football played in the elements that was just, it was part of the primal appeal of football.
You're a traditionalist.
I guess, but okay. Isn't it, don't you like kind of watching a game? Maybe you don't. Don't you like watching a game that's played in, you know, the foul weather, the snow? It's kind of cool.
A little bit.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is when your team's not playing in it. And we saw with Brock Purdy, you know, with the rain situation, glove, right. No glove. Like, it seems like he hasn't grasped the way to really sling it in the rain at 100%. No, I'd rather be nice at 70.
Maybe it's,
but I get what you're saying. It is football.
Mm-hmm.
Like the turn of the calendar, snow on the ground, it's football.
Yeah. Maybe part of it is being from California. Just, you know, I haven't seen that much snow.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to Tahoe, but, you know, it doesn't snow. I remember when it snowed in Vallejo one time. It was the greatest thing ever. So maybe it's that. But, yeah, like I say, from the business standpoint, I get it. But part of me feels like, oh, Detroit with a dome and Chicago and Minnesota with a dome. Ah, they can't put a dome over Lambeau. You can't have a Packer dome. I won't allow it.
You still got New York. You still got Philly. You still got some places. Baltimore. There's still some places now. Cleveland.
You're right. I will say, as much as I like
KC, Buffalo,
snow games, that Super Bowl they played in New York, that was a stupid.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. Remember the one in Detroit? It was snowing. And in Dallas, you couldn't even fly into Dallas.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to the one in Dallas at the time. My job was like, nah, don't worry about that. You sit back. We'll save that money. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm,
give me the Arizona, Santa Clara, L.A., Miami, Houston, Vegas. Give me those. I'll take those.
I think, though, I would rather watch a game played in the snow than a game played in perfect conditions. I know.
Really?
Yeah, there's something really cool about watching them play in the snow, in the mud.
And you got college. Throw that in there, too. You got, you know, the Michigans and the Notre Dames and all that
and
stuff.
And it's
got to
be real grass, too, not the
artificial. Yes, I'm with that. Now, I'm with you on that. You know, Army, Navy.
Sure.
In the snow, right?
Right. But I get it. I understand why they're going another direction, and they make more money, and it's probably safer, which is probably good.
Yeah.
But I something sad about a dome in Chicago. Now, we were just talking about the Kings. Are you with me, Jay, that maybe this roster for the Kings has gotten a little stale just by virtue of the fact that they haven't really added anybody?
Definitely. Yeah, they have. And it's wearing thin on me, and I think it's wearing thin on you. And, you know, I won't speak for you, but fans too. Yeah, it has. It's kind of like you use the analogy of that old Triscuit cracker.
Uh-huh.
You know, in your cabinet, and you like, oh yeah, and I got some cheese and salami, and
yeah, it
you
doesn't
know,
even crunch, it just kind of bends.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
It gets a gymnastic
day,
on.
You know, July 22. Oh man.
Yeah.
These are almost like pre-pandemic Triscuits. That's no good, but it's just
the Wheat Thins ain't chewing. No, they not. They got no snap no more. Whitey, the Wheat Thins ain't got no snap.
That's the problem with the Kings roster. Their Wheat Thins don't have any more snap. But that's just the way it is. And whatever the snap has to come from within, and it's got to be making more threes and playing with more fervor. And making, they have been making their free throws.
How do you get snapped back into the crackers that are done? You just gotta go get a new box, right?
See, now that's a good question, because I there we had like a whole bunch on top of the refrigerator, and yesterday I went to get some, and Sheena said, "We have new ones, get them." And I was like, "I don't want to waste the." Yeah,
you're with me. Yeah, I'm with you.
But she said those are terrible.
And then you take one and you're like, can't do it.
If you put enough cheese on it, you can pretend it's fresh. You know, after you chew on it for a while.
So okay, so what's the snap into this team now? Right now, what's fresh?
They just got to make their threes more consistently. I don't know how you do that. Keegan's got to become a 3-point weapon again. You know, yesterday before the game, Katie said the Kings have to make 15 threes. I mean, they only shot 32. It's tough for this team right now to make, you know, they're not going to make half their threes.
Mm.
But I see her point, and I agree with it. They got to be a team that is beating the other team from the 3-point line. It's one of the absolute keys to make up for all the other shortcomings they have to get a little bit of snap back into Wheat Thin.
I love it.
Right?
I love it. All right. Triscuits, man.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being with us today. Drapes is back with us tomorrow. We'll be coming to you from the Golden One Center. Coming up next, we've got the UC Davis Magazine, the Aggie Mag, hosted by Scott Marsh next year on Sackdown Sports.